Nowadays, we use too much of a good thing to talk about excess. We can have too much chocolate or too much vacation or, as in my case, too much bacon. And that can sometimes be a bad thing if you have too much of that. If you pay attention to the title of the play written by William Shakespeare, As You Like It, it doesn't particularly mind if he, it seems like he doesn't particularly mind if you care about his play or not, as far as the title goes. And even if you do care about it, Shakespeare invites you to decide for yourself why the play matters and what it even means. In fact, finding your own meaning in life is the whole point of that entire play, As You Like It. The play debates a giant laundry list of philosophical questions and really never quite lands on any kind of firm answer. In fact, most of the characters in the play spend their time running around the forest offering multiple and incompatible answers to these questions about the meaning of life and love and the pursuit of happiness. As You Like It presents several points of view but never actually takes any particular sides. And the message of the whole play is that you can take what you want and pretty much do what you want. So it begs the question, can you have too much of a good thing? And as we take a look at the words of Jesus this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, where he talks about salt and light, we want to look at this notion of maybe too much of a good thing as we consider our walk as Christians and our journey with Jesus, our life as God's people. And so before we begin, let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, as we prepare to do some scripture exploring this morning, calm our minds and our spirits, help us to put away the distractions that we may have brought along with us this morning that have kept our focus from your word. Help us to understand what it truly means, as in the psalm, to delight in your commandments and thereby being the salt and the light that this world so desperately is seeking. And we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. It pretty much goes without saying that we live in a culture here in North America, Canada and America, and pretty much the Western world, where excess is very much a buzzword. And if we don't have everything, we certainly are conditioned to want everything or so much of it as we can have. And we're very often measured by how much of everything we may or may not have currently in our life. It's not always a very direct comparison. More often, it's a very subtle measuring stick that we and others tend to use. And there's a long history in our culture that has brought us to this point of wanting to have a little bit of everything or everything in itself. And it's come from very good intention because people came to this country from Europe originally and they had very little. And that's continued in its tradition. We think of immigrants coming to this country having not very much. And then they come here and they start to collect everything, so to speak. What I mean by that specifically is we see this probably best demonstrated in the generations that follow. Immigrants that come to Canada and America, I guess, but Canada in particular, often come with very little and other than a hard working ethic and a hard and strong heart in that regard. And work very difficult and remember what it's like to have nothing in your pocket and no food to eat, maybe. But as their children grow up and their grandchildren grow up, we notice a trend. They want everything. And they want it today. And they don't want to necessarily work hard for it because they don't remember those days themselves. We see that everything and its desires, because we're very much immersed in this, and it changes the cultures coming into this country as their generations become acclimated to this culture. Stephen Wright, the comedian famous for his one-liners, has said, "You can't have everything, where would you put it?" And he also said, "When everything is coming your way, you're likely in the wrong lane." And I think that sometimes describes the other side of the coin for us in so many ways. Once we have everything, it doesn't seem like, where am I going to keep it? And as I talk to all of us who are aging, myself included, and we look around our house, everybody's seeking to downsize because we've had 20 or 30 years of collecting everything, and it's sitting in our basement and garage and attic at the moment. And we do want to try to get rid of it. You run out of space very quickly, or as I've heard many people say, the bigger the house, the more stuff you collect because you've got space to fill it up. There's actually a couple of sections in our gospel reading this morning that we can pull out that are really, in a way, separate from each other, but they're also very, very much connected at the same time, talking about how much is enough. Verses 13 to 17, Jesus is talking about being salt and light and living our lives accordingly. In verses 18 to 20, he seems to be talking about the scribes and Pharisees in a very favorable light indeed. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow, this is very contrary to any encounters that Jesus has had and will continue to have as we read through the Gospels. Every time he talks to the Pharisees, he's telling them how they're doing everything wrong. But all of a sudden, he's talking to all these followers who've gathered around him on the Sermon on the Mount and says, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. In prior encounters and subsequent encounters, the Pharisees are very often portrayed as quote-unquote the bad guys, showing examples of how not to live for God. Examples of bad intention versus good deeds in so many cases. And right here, Jesus is saying very much the opposite. We need to be more like the Pharisees. It's quite a turnaround. I think the key word here in this phrase is the word righteousness. And it's exactly what that word means is sometimes difficult to understand for us because it's become a bad word in modern context, to be righteous and righteousness. And when we say somebody's righteous, we're usually telling them that we don't like what they're doing at them. You're being too righteous. You're being righteous about that. But there is a positive spin on this because it really does mean integrity and virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. These are the things that God is calling us to do in so many ways in that single word, to have integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Jesus is not judging the Pharisees' motivation for their righteousness as he so often does in other encounters with them in this particular instance. Here he's saying that the effort to have the purity of life, the integrity of life, and virtue in life is what we need to be seeking for. So what the Pharisees are trying to achieve in their righteousness, in their virtue, is something we need to exceed in so many ways. We need to have more salt and light in our life. So let's look at salt and light. Yesterday, I was at a breakfast meeting with a few colleagues, and I had let it slip prior to this particular meeting that I really like bacon. And apparently it was announced to all the crew and became quite the discussion point at our particular meeting. It's true, I do like bacon. I like streaky bacon cut thin. I like it cut thick. I like pea meal bacon, very much Canadian kind of way of talking about back bacon, I suppose. I like it on its own. I like it in a bun. It's not like I'm doing Dr. Seuss here somehow. I even like bacon bits on a salad. And if you add bacon to really almost anything, I'm in. But honestly, when we look at the main savory ingredient in bacon, it is, of course, salt. There's salt in almost all the food that we consume in our North American diet. It's added there because it enhances the flavor, and it also is a great preservative. And so it's there. And if you look at, as we are very conscious these days of watching our salt intake, we can read these ingredients and see how much is there. But it is a good thing in so many ways. Pioneers traveling out west in the early days of our country often carried things like salt pork with them because it would endure almost indefinitely on a long journey, and there was a good reason for that. But as we know, and I've talked with the children already this morning, too much salt can taste pretty awful when it gets to be just there's that threshold point in so many ways. Too much salt, in fact, dries things out, hence the preservation of meats using salt. Too much salt in your diet can cause, of course, all sorts of health issues. And you know, the same sort of thing happens when we have too much light. Again, when I spoke to the children this morning, too much of it can damage things, can burn things, and can also dry things out. So too much salt or light can take the very life out of almost everything on our planet. Too much, not good. Just the right amount, and things are that much better. They taste better, we can see better, things are generally better. We're supposed to be, as Christ is calling us to be, that salt and light, just the right amount of salt and light in our journey of righteousness, virtue, rightness, and in our walk with Jesus. We are intended to be the people that add just the right amount of flavor and shedding just the right amount of light in the world for others to do what? to see God. It's not so that they see our righteousness. It's not so they see our goodness, but in fact, that they taste, putting it in as literal terms, taste and see God. So in our relationships with one another, in our relationship with other Christians and with people maybe who don't know God, the question we need to always ask when we're interacting, and I mean this sincerely, the question we need to ask ourselves before we open our mouths in our interactions with other people is, what we're about to say or do or be or express, is it just the right amount of salt and light to add the right things? Or are we being a bit too salty, drying things out or leaving a horrible taste in people's mouths? Or are we being too bright a light, blinding and burning and drying? Micah last week gave us some instruction about how we're supposed to measure that. And the last of the three things that we read in that part of Micah, and I'll get you to look that up if you can remember, the last one was to walk humbly with God. That's how people should see us. That's how the salt and light should be showing, or what it should be showing, is that walking humbly with God. Seeking to live a righteous life, which means walking close to God, demands that we be just the right amount of saltiness and just bright enough of a light to add Christ in the conversation and in the relationship, and not too much to spoil things, not too much to turn it around in the wrong direction. Verse 16 of our psalm reading today, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's important to understand the reason that we're shining that light of Jesus is not so people can see what we're doing, but that they can see the good works and thereby give glory to God, who is at the source of everything that we do and all that we think and all that we say. Amen.